Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Patrick, is it Friday yet?
No, sorry, Jim. It's only Thursday.
Ah, shoot.
What's the big deal?
Well, on Friday, you don't want to miss the big fish fry.
Fish fry? I'm getting in line now.
All right, Patrick, today, before we get started with the topic, we need to do a game break. We haven't done a game break in a while. Yeah, or something else that's not copyrighted, maybe. Somebody needs to write us some game break, little stinger,
people.
Right?
Come on.
Speaking of that, I got to tell you something.
Okay.
I think yesterday we had the EPJ episode.
Uh-huh.
And I totally forgot. Okay, so this is a call to two specific listeners. I completely forgot that Nicholas Nygaards wrote EPJ theme music.
What? Okay?
He wrote and recorded.
Wait a minute. What?
Yeah. Nicholas Nygaards wrote and recorded theme music for Echo Park Jimmy's calls. And I forgot.
Oh my God.
That we have this in hand.
That's a bad thing
and
to forget.
I know. It's a really bad thing to forget. So I didn't want to go back and sort of like rework the episode.
No.
After the fact, you know, because it's such a thing of beauty when you get done, you don't want to mess with that. But
right.
So here's the thing. EPJ, you got to call in again soon so we can do another episode and run that theme music. Okay.
Right.
And my apologies to Nicholas. All right. I apologize. So
absolutely.
So we'll have that soon. But anyway, the game break stinger, somebody's got to do that. And it can't sound like what you just said. And
it's a stinger, right?
But here's the thing.
Is
I got to tell
said?
You.
A stinger?
I'm about to. Although I'm about to kill this game break segment because our Loudoun United, they're so terrible.
Yeah.
Let's just come right out and say it. I don't even remember where we left off, but wherever it was, it's just, you know, a number of losses, one after another since then. Let's see. Where are we here? I'm going to go back. I'm just going to recap July. All right.
Sure.
So far in July to where we're recording right now, 2-0 loss at Hartford. No, I'm sorry. It was a home match. 2-0 loss. They do it backwards. You know that. Well, anyway, the home team is on the top. But that's a whole other thing.
It
confuses me all the time.
It's a whole other thing.
Yeah. I'm sorry. That was a home match. 2-0 loss to Hartford. Then another home match, 4-1 loss to Miami. And then at Pittsburgh. That's Pittsburgh 1, Loudoun 0, and then at Tampa, Tampa Bay 3, Loudoun 1. So that's the last four matches losses. So not looking too good.
Well, I'll tell you this, Jim.
Home team, Loudoun United.
Yeah, you and I have talked about.
But they're
about,
playing like children. Well, you already realize it's like 12 and 13-year-olds, it seems like, out there on the pitch.
You and I have talked about this. The new coach, Hernan Losada, who's an Argentinian coach, a young guy, great hire by DC United. DC United coach, which essentially is in charge of player personnel.
The parent club.
All the way down, that's right.
Yeah.
And there's a whole another discussion, Jim, right, about parent clubs and all that. But they want to get exposure for people who have raw talent. And, you know, that's how he's done it. So you're going to get these kind of results. But when you score a goal, that's good. And, you know, when you get these guys some time against very experienced players, you're going to go in the right direction. So I think, you know, even though we're losing, I think it's going in the right direction.
All right.
Personally, yeah.
Look at the big picture is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. Yep.
All right. But anyway, but on the plus side, Washington Spirit.
Yeah, baby.
They moved up to third place
in
the National Women's Soccer League. And they had a really nice victory, 2-0 at Louisville.
Great, great win.
It was really good.
Huge
and
win.
Right before that, it was a match I was at, which unfortunately was a 3-2 loss to a team now called Gotham. That's New York, by the way.
Yeah.
Gotham. And I was at that match over here at Segra Field, and it was... It was a really tough loss because Washington Spirit were playing down a player from the fourth minute on and still scored two goals, but ended up giving up three.
Amazing work.
But still, that was pretty impressive. And that red card, by the way, got rescinded after the match.
Very controversial. Yeah.
Right. Which allowed the player, what was her name? Sue Stab?
Yep.
She was able to play then again the Louisville match, and she scored a goal. How about that?
There you go. So
there's some kind of karma happening there.
I mean, any ref that gives a red card in the fourth minute, you know, for a challenge like that should not be reffing, even at the USL level. So I just want to say that.
I think the fans expressed that.
We don't want to get in hot water. It was a terrible call.
Anyway, we're getting pretty late in this episode here.
Yeah.
This is a music podcast, and we're going to talk today. We're going to answer some listener correspondence.
Yep.
The show is The Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
All right. And we're going to do two topics.
If you're still listening at this point, good for you.
Yes. Two topics of correspondence today. All right. Let's start here. A while back, we had Bill Mulligan over at the house. We recorded a couple of patron episodes with him. One of those, or both of those episodes, were about compilation albums. We talked about KTEL albums. We talked about some other compilation series that he really likes. And let's start here with a Facebook comment from Ben Montgomery. Ben Montgomery has a podcast called Records Revisited, and he's a listener of our show.
Yep.
And I like this comment because he says, I wouldn't be the music fan I am without some KTEL. I still own the album that started it all, 1978's Starburst. I guess that started it all for him. That didn't start it for KTEL, but
right.
Yes, he still owns that Starburst record. And then he says, the original premise of my podcast was going to be doing an album by album discussion of every KTEL record. My co-host luckily talked me out of it.
Hmm. So, there you go. I'd be on board for that.
Yeah. Enrique Cruz also said on Facebook, he says he saw KTEL compilations in the 90s. I can't remember what we said. Did we say they didn't go into the 90s or they flamed out in the 90s?
Yeah, a little bit. Exactly. And there were some remade on CD, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Since I saw KTEL CD compilations in the 90s, I bought something called the Best of Reggae because it had Electric Boogie by Marsha Griffith.
Wow, Electric Boogie by Marsha Griffith. You know, yeah, cool tune. Who's ever editing? Insert that right here.
Of course. Jason Goble sent an email and he says, excellent episode today on the compilations and KTEL. For me, my purchase compilations came from those bargain bin cassettes. First, I think by going into one of the mall stores as a kid and digging into that tape box, which had the, we have to get rid of it, so we're selling it for $1.99 tapes. And then when I was going up to school in the early 90s in Albany, New York, stopping at a rest stop, eating some fast food, and then going into that gift shop, which always had that random cassette bin where I would buy something for the road. As you all said, there was always the fun of discovering that song, which got stuck on the compilation. Two of those that stuck out in my mind and that I probably would not have heard otherwise are Dave Edmonds' I Hear You Knocking and Status Quo's Rockin' All Over the World, songs which I love probably just because of the way I discovered them. So there you go.
Yeah.
You got to love a good rest stop cassette.
Oh,
right?
My God. Jason said it so well, Jim. You know, what combination of circumstances caused you to be at a rest stop off 95 at 2:30 in the afternoon or whatever, and then there's a rack of CDs, and you just have to look at them and say to yourself, which one is going to bomb with me, because I'm taking one of you guys home, and then you find one, and you put it in your CD player. So totally relate to that. And I Hear You Knocking by Dave Edmonds. Oh, my God, Jim. It's a great.
So good.
Great version. Yeah.
Excellent version, for sure.
You went away and left me long time ago. Now you're knocking on the door.
Okay, now, my friend Glenn Au in Louisville, he wrote this email. He said, I got a kick out of today's KTEL show. The only one I had as a kid was 1972's 20 Power Hits Volume 2. But I buy KTEL records now from the dollar bin as novelty gifts for people who have bought their first turntable. For your show on compilation albums, I offer the amazing lineup on a 1970 Ronco compilation called Do It Now, 20 Giant Hits. And he gave us some photos here of this album he has. He said, you rarely saw most of these acts on compilations. It turns out this album was put together for an anti-drug campaign, and the Do It Now Foundation is still around. This album is incredibly subversive considering some of the acts and song choices. So, have you ever heard of this Do It Now compilation?
I have not. Do It Now, Don't Do Drugs, or I'm not sure what it is, but yeah.
Well, it's funny because I'm going to look it up here. I looked this up earlier, and so it was put out by Ronco. We talked about Ronco being sort of mail order thing, right?
Totally. And I love not doing drugs, except for... It's so much fun to do drugs.
It was meant to
that's
be.
That's the dichotomy. Yeah.
Sort of. The idea behind it was songs that sort of get you to like love life. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I see. Yeah,
like that
totally.
Kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, totally. Up with people and all that.
Yeah, that kind of thing. But listen to the songs they picked, right? So it starts off with the Beatles. They got the Beatles on this thing.
Well, great. They got
Nowhere Man.
Yeah.
Nowhere Man is excellent. On there. Then they have Melanie, What Have They Done to My Song, Ma? You remember that song? Let's see. They have BJ Thomas doing So Lonesome I Could Cry. Mm. Now, how does that an uplifting song come
That's on? Really sad.
And then it goes to Mel and Tim, Backfield in Motion. I know that's one of your favorites.
Backfield in motion, yeah. I'm gonna have to penalize you. Yeah, oh.
Jimi Hendrix song. Is on here, Red yeah. House.
Well, that didn't work out so well either.
What?
So, yeah.
I know. let's see. Neil Diamond doing Mr. Bojangles.
I need a copy of this. Yeah.
The Association, Along Comes Mary. Now, come on, people. How is this an anti-drug record? They have Jefferson Airplane, Somebody to Love.
Every now and then, one of them subversives will get into the corporation, Jim, and they'll do
I don't understand
like this,
this yeah. at all. Donovan, Sunshine Superman. Was there ever a better song to get to
let me see
you know,
if I
get
can
stoned to than a Donovan record, right?
Let me see if I can sneak this past the superiors, man.
That's right. So anyway, there you go. Do it now.
There it is.
I think it has the opposite intent.
Beautiful find. Now, Glenn yeah. Au, how do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know Glenn?
He and I worked together at the Louisville Courier
Journal.
Oh,
great. Awesome.
He is a superb copy editor.
Oh, thank you, Glenn.
Or he was. Great. He's retired now.
Oh, great to hear
and
from
he,
you.
And he buys he does lots of thrift store shopping for records.
Oh, great. Great. So do I.
Okay, and then last thing on this topic, Mark Neese, a Facebook comment. This is funny. He said the episodes made him think of these compilations called Story of the Stones, Volumes 1 and 2.
Whoa.
They were released by the British arm of KTEL Records in 1982, wow. and he says they were the first Stones albums I ever owned. Not having a lot of money as a kid, and being too stupid and impatient to just save my money and buy the Hot Rocks compilations, I bought these from the bargain bin at Woolworths. I can't stress enough how terrible the sound quality was. And on my copy of Volume 2, the songs were sped up. Jagger sounded like a chipmunk. And then he has photos here of these cassettes, Story of the Stones. And they look really crappy. You could tell just from the packaging.
It was just the guy on his porch recording his Rolling Stones LPs off his speakers.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Seriously. So there you go.
Great stuff. Okay. Now worth $400 on Discogs. So hang on to those.
Okay. Now, one more topic today. Remember what we did the cocktails week? We sat down and
vaguely
had different cocktails and talked about music that goes with those cocktails. That
very
we had,
vaguely. Yeah.
That was with Mike Snyder and Bud Verge.
I seem to remember yeah. most of it. Yeah.
All right. I'm going to start off with this because okay. We haven't heard from this guy in a while. Walt Falconer from the Falcon's Nest. Here's what he said on Facebook. He said, great week and great episodes. It sounds like a lot of practice went into that recipe. Sounded delicious. I believe he was talking about the margarita recipe that was Mike Snyder's. Because then he says, here is the official summer of 2021 Falcon's Nest margarita recipe. Are you ready? Everyone go get a pencil. I want to take this down. Ready? 2 ounces quality Blanco tequila.
Blanco, yeah.
Yep, 1 ounce pineapple liqueur, 1/2 ounce of lime juice, and 1/4 ounce of agave syrup. Place all in an ice-filled shaker. Shake vigorously like the girl is doing on the cover of the Cars Shake It Up. Pour into a salt rim margarita glass. Garnish with a pineapple wedge. Then he says, bartender's note, These won't taste as good as the one you had, since mixing the drink with Buddy Guy's glass ramps up the quality and the street cred exponentially. That was in reference to Mike Snyder. Remember he said the Buddy, Buddy Guy glass?
That was weird, man.
Yeah. So there you go. There's the pineapple. That's an interesting addition to the margarita. So we'll have to give that a try.
You know, it's good to hear from Walt. And I don't know how you feel, Jim, but sometimes I'm in the mood to make my own ingredients. Sometimes I just want some ingredients that have already been packaged for me, you know, and I'll make the best of it. Right?
Yeah. Okay, so that was great. Thank you, Walt, for that. And then now this I found really interesting. Peter Nordgren from Cornucopia, Wisconsin. Scenic Cornucopia.
I dream about it every night. Yeah.
He starts off and he says, so about the old fashioned in Wisconsin, it's our unofficial state cocktail, but it's made a little differently. He says, skip the simple syrup, grab your muddler. That's a clean reference, by the way, but grab your, grab your muddler, put a sugar cube and maraschino cherry in the glass, dash with the bitters and proceed to muddle. Muddle in an orange slice if you like your citrus. Then add your spirits and top with mixer. Garnish with orange slice and another cherry. Served sweet with lemon lime soda mixer or sour with sour mix. Okay, so you can have it sweet with the lemon lime or sour with the sour mix. Okay. Or squirt. I think that's a type of soda.
Hopefully,
Or for the real Badger State flavor, Jolly Good Sour Power Soda from Milwaukee.
Wow.
All right. Or use club soda if you don't like either option, but expect some stink eye from the bartender. But the real difference is the spirit. It's a brandy old fashioned always.
Hmm.
So grab the Korbel, practice your muddling, and enjoy the superb cocktail with your walleye fish fry on Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yeah. All right.
And there's a link to the actual link to the recipe.
Recipe. So we should get that in the article.
Yeah, we'll share that in the article. Yeah.
Yeah, with this suburbspod.com.
That's it.
Yeah, it'd be great if we could start a whole cocktails recipe section of the website. I think that'd be a good addition there. So I would encourage other people, if you have good cocktail recipes for us, email those to rock@suburbspod.com.
Yep.
All right. And we will read those on the air. Cocktail recipes for sure. Anyway, I got to say, Peter, I appreciate the contribution. Not sure I can get behind this recipe, the brandy old fashioned, but, you know, I like the walleye fish fry.
Yeah.
That totally. I would be totally into that. I miss Midwestern fish fries, man. Those,
they're always on Friday, right? Friday fish fry. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful. So I would be all for that.
Yeah, totally.
All right. Let's see. And then, and then here we go. We can use this for the play out. Okay.
Yep.
Herb Fernandez said on Twitter, he said, every Friday around 3 o'clock, WHTG, Modern Rock at the Jersey Shore, played this. He says, the station's long gone, unfortunately, but feel free to use this as a send-off. And so you're going to hear a great playout song here along the topic. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And this is the Reverend Horton Heat with It's Martini Time. And we'll talk to you tomorrow. It's Martini Time. Team Martin is in front of the laws. I didn't even ask for care what they cost. I lost my job for no reason to run. Guess what I need? It's Martini. Martini time, make with a layer of ice this time.
The sports break is longer than the podcast.
That's right.